Britain's Tony Blair today pledged his closest possible cooperation with strikes against those responsible for the attacks on the United States, saying his country was, quote, at war with terrorism, end quote. Blair called for a concerted global effort to hunt down the perpetrators. But as NPR's Julie McCarthy reports from London, European allies are expressing apprehension about the potential scope of military action.
As the most steadfast U.S. ally, Britain is all but certain to deploy its troops with American armed forces in any military action the U.S. undertakes in retaliation for the attacks on New York and Washington. From the outset, Prime Minister Tony Blair expressed his full support and today adopted the language President Bush has employed in speaking of what's next.
Whatever the technical or legal issues about a declaration of war, the fact is we are at war with terrorism. The thousands of people that lost their lives included nationals of many, many countries. Probably 200-300 people from Britain will have died in that terrorist attack. So this is a situation that concerns us all. Our own interests are intimately engaged, quite apart from the fact that in these times it's important that America realizes that her friends right around the world stand with her.
The London Sunday Telegraph says British SAS forces are preparing to join U.S. special forces in operations in Afghanistan. The paper quotes unnamed British security officials as saying they believe that initial missile strikes will take place within days. The Observer newspaper says Blair told President Bush that before action is taken, there must be firm evidence linking Islamic terrorists to the attacks on the U.S. Fears of a rush to judgment have worried other allies. The unified front Europe expressed at NATO in Brussels just days ago is already coming under strain. There are pleas for President Bush to avoid setting the wider Muslim world against the West. The EU's foreign policy chief, Javier Solana, warned against an excessive response that would offend or humiliate whole peoples or religions. Germany's foreign minister, Joschka Fischer, said we must not push Islam into a corner, a message echoed today by British MP George Calloway.
That would be the worst case, and it would mean that instead of the one bin Laden that we almost certainly would kill, would generate tens of thousands of bin Ladens, and then the world would be a much more dangerous place than it already is.
Editorials in today's paper urged both resolve and restraint. The Observer wrote that America needs to acknowledge that this horror was a failure of its own intelligence. Defense analyst Michael Clark of King's College London says the U.S. also needs to know that a calibrated response is the only way to keep the Allies on board.
Any action that was seen to be indiscriminate or disproportionate to the nature of the problem is certainly not going to do America that much good in the rest of the Middle East or the rest of the Islamic world, and it may well turn stomachs among some of its friends as well. So it is very difficult for the president to get this one right. He needs time, and I guess American public and congressional opinion may not be prepared to give him that time.
Planning continues apace with oil stocks being poured into the U.S. Indian Ocean base at Diego Garcia. British warships, meanwhile, have moved south through the Suez Canal on what officials said were exercises scheduled before the terrorist attacks. While Washington moves to a war footing, Americans abroad are still seeking the balm of comfort in books of condolence, services for the dead, and floral tributes that are piling up at U.S. embassies. In London, it was an uncharacteristically somber last night of the BBC's concert series known as the Proms. Stirring British anthems that each year bring the audience to its feet were replaced by Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. Fittingly, the last night of the Proms was conducted by an American, Leonard Slatkin, who said, "We used music tonight to express all the emotions we all feel." Julie McCarthy, NPR News, London.